Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I am joined by Jay Papazan, who is the author of the book, The One Thing. And this is a book I read several years ago. In fact, I read it all in one sitting on a plane trip. I wish I could remember where I was going. But what an outstanding book. And so many folks that I know that have read this book have certainly referenced it as one of their top 10 business books or life books of all time. And I certainly agree. I know you're going to enjoy this interview. Jay has authored several books, but The One Thing, of course, is my favorite. I have to put that out there. And I'm hoping that maybe we can convince him to put out a follow-up. But then on the other hand, this book is so incredible in its impact, and he shares actually on the show how year after year, although it was released, I think 4 or 5 years ago, that it actually is increasing in sales year after year, and understandably. So I'm very excited for you all to tune in and listen. We went a little bit longer on the show, and I'm going to leave it as one episode because I think it all flows so well together. We talk quite a lot about how you can make huge changes in your life and in your focus in every area. We talk about fitness, we talk about business, we talk about relationships, we talk about money. And I think you're going to hearing all of the examples and certainly Jay's enthusiasm and his areas of expertise and study, you're just going to get so much out of this. This is a power-packed interview. I'm excited for you to hear it. So please sit down and enjoy this interview again with Jay Papazan, author of The One Thing. Jay, welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me.
I am very, very, if I would have known when I bought your book, The One Thing, I don't even know how many years ago it was. I'll have to look it up on my Amazon when I actually bought the book. I remember I read it on the plane. I read it all. There's a couple books that I read on a plane, and you know a book is good if you read the whole thing on one flight, that it's that good. And I know you hear that a lot. One of the other things that I promised I would tell you is that when I was touching base with Danielle, she was our CMO at Fitfluential for several years, an integral part of our business foundation. And she's now running her own business very successfully. In fact, two of them. And she is our legal counsel as well. And I told her, I always go to her for my business book recommendations, and she's always got the best, both fiction and business. And she came to me recently. I'm like, okay, what's the book you're reading? I need to add 17 more reads to my list because I buy books like most people buy shoes, but I also buy shoes. And she goes, oh my God, you have to read The One Thing. And I'm like, oh my, and then I felt kind of cool because I'm like, I know him. He's on our show. And she's like, what? Are you kidding me? And she said that above all the books that she's read in business the past couple of years, she's like, this is the one she's recommending to everybody. So I had to pass that on. Some major snaps and props to you from Danielle. And she'll be so geeked out that I mentioned this, but she's a huge fan.
I love that. I hope that your flight was domestic and not like a 14-hour flight from Singapore. I love it when I find a book that I consume that quickly too. I'm a reader. I was a reader before I was a writer. So I know Gary, my co-author, would be super pleased as well. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And let's just dive right in. You know, there's folks that are listening that probably have already read the book like me, that would like to, hear you live and tune into any interviews that you're doing and probably, go, Jay, when's another book coming out? I'm sure everybody asked you that as well. But What there's also going to be a lot of folks listening in our Fitfluential community that have not read this book yet. And so my first question to you is going to be, if someone's a stranger, I think they could probably look at the book or maybe look at some reviews on Amazon, all of which, you know, to me, I just looked at them again recently and everybody's just saying amazing things. It really is profoundly impactful, but it can also be profoundly simple. But it's huge. And I don't think I'm a business book reader, obviously. I'm a business book addict. Yours stands apart. But for those that have never read this book, let me ask you this first. What moved you to write this book and why?
So my co-author Gary and I have been working together actually this week 17 years.
Wow.
So it's been a long partnership. And it was probably back in 2008 or 9, I forget the exact date, we were working on a project and he went home and wrote a short essay called The Power of One. And it just reflected this idea. And there's a passage in the book that overlaps that essay, that the times he was most successful in his career were the times where he managed to have the most focus. He was much more singular in terms of where he was driving everything in the company. And it was supposed to be like a really short introductional essay to one of our courses. And I remember reading it and going, well, this is a book. It's not just any book. It's your book. Because I've had the privilege of watching Gary. Like when I joined his company, there were 6,700 real estate agents in it. Today, there's 160,000.
Wow.
So it's number one in the world. And like, I think the number two, the gap between us and number two would be the number four or five company in the United States. So wow. It's not like a little bit. He's built this huge thing from scratch right here in Austin, Texas. And I do think that's his superpower. So I've been in publishing for 20 years now. And so my instincts were, wow, this is a book that is in perfect alignment with what you do. And to his credit, instead of making it an ego book, it's just about how I do stuff, he committed. And we spent almost 5 years researching this with a team of two full-time researchers. We had our hypothesis based on what Gary had experienced, and we wanted to see if the science would validate it. So that's the origin. I mean, it was a weekend project that ballooned into this much bigger thing because we kind of, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I guess, we stumbled onto it, but we were hopefully smart enough or lucky enough to realize that maybe it was something. And I think when you talk about why this book, that's the actual origin. I think that the book has done as well as it has because timing found us. I think a lot of people are overwhelmed. And I think you said the word simple 4 or 5 times there. Mm. It's actually in our subtitle, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. Gary's all about pragmatic implementation. How do we get stuff done? And the thing he's just burned into my psyche is that people are attracted to complicated, but they can't do it for long. Anything that's going to be ultimately successful in the long haul has to be simple. Mm. So if you read our reviews, like the 5-star reviews, and the 1-star reviews, like there are people who love the simplicity and people who complain about it. And I take them all as, well, at least we did what we were supposed to do. Tell them something they've already heard. Like everybody's been told to focus before, right? But put it in a framework where hopefully people could go out and do something with it.
Well, you know, number one, I agree with you. I think personally, not that it matters whether I'm right or wrong on this, but people that get frustrated at something being simple, I personally think that they're not really at that point willing to do the work on themselves because something might be a simple truth like this. You know, we're talking about what's the one thing that's going, and we'll get deeper into that focus of the one thing shortly, but we're talking about what's the one thing that can help you move forward? Because we all, and I shared with you before the show, I'll use myself as an example again. I feel like I've spent so much time in over-analysis paralysis, whether it's about my fitness journey. I used to think, what's the perfect diet? I have to research, you know, exact and plan it all out. And there's this one quote that says, the biggest time wasted is the time spent getting started. And that has, so like, that was me for so many years of my life is I can see the big picture and go, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I want to research everything. And then I want to plan everything. And if you're not willing to do the cold, hard look at yourself and go, okay, I'm spending a lot of time getting started. I'm spending a lot of time reading books and looking up statistics and getting my PowerPoint ready, you know, whatever it is, whether it's in your fitness life, your marriage, or, you know, starting your own company, whatever. If you're in that phase of getting excited, but you're in planning or you're in research or you're in ideation phase, you can get stuck there. And guess what? You're not getting anywhere because you're not moving yourself forward. And so the simplicity of what your book gets to is, I don't think a lot of people realize that they're in those phases. They might go, well, of course I'm focused. I'm obsessed with this goal. I'm obsessed with building my business. I'm obsessed with my body. But they're not willing to do the work and really shine the light on themselves to see that they're not moving forward. Do you find that a lot? Have you heard that from folks that have read your book?
Yeah, and I've suffered from it as well. I think that, and I'll just say this once, and then we'll assume that anything smart kind of falls under this rule. Like a quote from Gary, right? And that's the thing I'm going to say once, and we don't have to say it again, because a lot of the stuff that I say, I've been working with them for 17 years, and I don't know what was his and mine. But I know that a lot of the smart ones came from him. Perfection's overrated. Mm. And I think some of us that are really driven for results also want perfection. And that can get really in the way of progress. And, you know, Gary's mantra in our building a lot of times is let's fail faster, let's fail faster, let's fail faster, because that's how we learn. And if you're not willing to fail along the way, it's very hard to get to the finish line. I mean, there's a book that we've kicked around for years called Fail Your Way to Success, which sounds a little too inspirational, you know, but I think we could draw some great research on it as well.
Absolutely. I know that,
well, I actually was chatting with a friend this morning, and her whole upbringing, you know, very lower middle class, maybe lower, upper lower class, I don't know, came from a place of trying to avoid bankruptcy, trying to avoid, you know, like a family situation. And so a lot of her wiring was about avoiding failure. And so there's a lot of people that have that. And I think that we have to start moving towards success and being okay with failure along the way. That's a big part, I think, of what the one thing helps you do is by simplifying it to one thing. There's no place to hide. Either you did it or you don't. Mm. Complexity allows you to hide and postpone because I did this, this, and this. That feels like progress, but you're not doing the thing. So it gives you no place to hide, and it kind of forces you to start learning from your progress. So, you know, it's a complex thing. I don't want someone listening to this who's got a business going, well, who would dive into business without any planning? Well, that would be foolish. It's called, you know, ready, aim, fire, not ready, fire, aim. Mm. But there is that place where people with my mindset, maybe yours too, we can get locked into that cycle of aiming without ever firing.
Gosh, I was taking copious notes because you made me think of so many things, and this is going to be an awesome interview. And for those of, I just know it. Like everybody that hasn't bought your book, you're going to go out because this is going to, I know it's going to make a huge impact on your life, and it's really going to change your perception. And if you can humble yourself to look at your life and your activity very differently and with like a reality scope, right? A reality flashlight, you will have major aha moments, major breakthroughs, and that's how you're going to make progress. So if you feel stuck in any area of your life, if it's your business, if it's your marriage, if it's your body, your fitness, your nutrition, whatever it is, this is what it requires. And you mentioned a couple things, you know, avoiding failure, perfectionism, and what I wrote when I was taking those notes on that is, you know, we all want to avoid failure. And I think where we get into that, where I have, I'll apply this to my diet, right? And to my fitness. I've always had such high goals. I've always been so hard on myself for being at a plateau in the past. And I didn't know I had hormonal issues. I didn't know that that's what was keeping me from losing fat and so on. And so we want to be able to control the outcome. I want to know, like for, I think I was unconsciously thinking this. I want to get skinnier. I want to get muscle. And I want to sit here and I want to plan it all out because whatever it is that I take that first step to do, I can't fail. I'm not going to waste. I think people like me, we think, oh, I'm going to waste time. I got to make sure that this plan, this workout plan, this food plan, everything is perfect. Because then when I go, it's only going to take 30 days and I'll lose all the weight. I'll have all the muscle. It'll be perfect. And so we spend 6 months, right, researching and planning and tweaking all to avoid, you know, we're impatient. Would you agree that I literally am just brain dumping, but do you think that that's what's going through a lot of people's heads?
A lot of entrepreneurs are impatient, and I can't imagine a more challenging combination than an impatient perfectionist, because those two actively fight each other, right? The perfectionist wants to plan longer and the impatient person wants to, you know, dive out there and take action. And in this case, you're sounding like, I think the perfectionist is winning because your impatient statement was around not having setbacks that would slow you down. Mm. So yeah, it's a very common combination, right? A lot of entrepreneurs, I think a lot of people who are driven to fitness, and you might correct me on that assumption, but I've hung out with a few trainers in my day, have a vision of where they want to go. And they tend to be quite driven by that vision. And that can be interpreted as impatience, as a personality trait, or just driven in general. And I think that's generally an asset, the need to go out there and move. And the need to plan is an asset too, if it's not overused. I mean, the whole point of the one thing is the focusing question. And, you know, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything will be easier or necessary, right? It's the, what's my absolute point of leverage in this equation that I can currently do, not something that I could do in the future. It's supposed to be a shortcut to getting you that answer that you can have a lot of faith in. And I'll tell you, Kelly, I've now, this book's 4 years old. It sold more books every year than the year before, which has been wonderful. So it's still kind of expanding out there. Mm. But I ask people that question, the focusing question, and in my experience, most people do know the answer. Mm-hmm. They either lack confidence in it, they're afraid of failing at it, and therefore they're hesitant to agree with it, right? Or they just feel guilty about not doing it, right? It's just the classic, they just haven't implemented and they walk around feeling guilty for not doing it all the time. So I don't think it's a matter of not knowing or being able to find the answer. It's about not trusting it. Or just really, you know, this kind of feeling of avoiding it and then feeling guilty, because we do it all the time. We know there's stuff that we should be doing that we're not. Mm-hmm. So we need a mechanism for getting us into action on those things.
Oh, gosh, this is so exciting because I'm just writing down, I can use this. I can use this as an example. And this, I thought of three areas where we could talk about how could that question help somebody in this area? And I put down fitness, business, and money. But really, you know, before we get into this, I want to preface this for everybody listening. And I've said this actually in two other podcasts that I recorded today. If you have not really gotten yourself into the place where you are actively working on yourself, whether it's reading business books, working with a coach or a therapist, and getting that kind of input in your life, it's a different way of looking at things. And I do think until you do that, until you commit, like, okay, I'm going to figure out, why is it that I have these issues? Why can't I get ahead at work? You know, what is it that is making me feel this way and feel so insecure, feel jealous? You've got to be able to do the work on yourself. But I encourage everybody, if you haven't started down that path, when you do, don't think it's hokey, air quotes, self-help stuff. This is how you make a better life. I challenge you to find anybody who is that you look up to, whether it's in fitness, whether it's in fitness and business, whether it's in business, if it's somebody like Tony Robbins or Gary Vaynerchuk or Jay Papazan, right? I could go on and on and on. Oprah Winfrey. I mean,
boy, you just put me. Can we just stop the interview now? You just put me in some amazing company.
but it's true. If you look at successful people, whoever it is that you emulate, you look up to, and I challenge you to find somebody that will not say in an interview, I commit to meditation. I commit to my health. I commit to working on myself. I have a therapist. I do yoga. I have these certain things and I'm always working on bettering myself. So this is a mindset that will raise your life to new levels. So I really encourage you, you know, if you're at all skeptical going, oh my God, I'm not going to sit down and worry about what motivates me. You know, please understand it's a game changer. It's a life changer. So
I'm going to hit you right on that.
Because
a lot of people you mentioned there, I don't know enough about like Gary Vaynerchuk's life. I know that Tony Robbins is amazingly disciplined in so many areas of his life. But being willing to be honest with yourself, the honest assessment of how am I doing? I know this is important. How am I doing? And committed to working on it in a purposeful way so that you might have a coach, right? You might have someone who's helping you in this area. You're investing in it. Like I thought of Oprah when I stopped there. Her weight battles have been epic. Mm-hmm. And she's been transparent and public about her failures. But she actually hasn't given up, has she?
Right.
And I think that everybody that has outsized strength somewhere, I think the time they spent developing that is going to leave a hole somewhere else. And I've made my peace with that, that I know that to be good at one thing means I'm just not going to be great at some other stuff. Mm. And, you know, I know what I'm saying no to say yes to these things. Mm. I don't know that you have to say no to an essential thing like health. I think some people have bigger challenges than others, but success in business and health are not mutually exclusive. And what I love, when we were talking about this before the show, I actually immediately thought, because my dad always was a big golf fan, right? So my whole life, golf has been on the TV. And I don't know if you remember, but pre like Tiger Woods, most golfers did not look like athletes.
Yeah.
They were at the top of their game. And they were all a little fat and pudgy. Like they drank a lot of beer after every match. But they had power. Right. And they only had to walk around. Right. And they had precision and they were the best at their game. And then somebody showed up like Tiger Woods and said, and I'm also going to be an athlete and work out. And now like all of them look like studs. I mean, not all of them, but yeah, you see a lot more fitted, you know, polo shirts and bulging muscles on the golf course.
I need to watch golf more.
Well, I think that business has undergone that transformation as well. Mm. I mean, it used to be that when you saw pictures of CEOs, they might have a very expensive suit, but it was like a size, you know, 52, not a size 42, right? They weren't necessarily always healthy looking, right? Yeah. They a lot of them were neglecting their health. And I do think that one of the most positive things that's come out of the last couple of decades is that people are starting to connect the two, that health is a foundation for all of these pursuits. And we have a lot of better role models out there. Especially the ones, I mean, I like Oprah for her transparency. A lot of people look up to her and they need to know that it's not, perfection is not, that's not perfection. She experiences failure just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important and they're not mutually exclusive. So that was a little soapbox moment for me. I think that you can achieve those really important things for your life and they can be done together.
Absolutely. And in fact, I'm glad you brought it up because I think that one of the things that I love and why I'm so passionate about Fitfluential and us expanding our conversation with folks that are just getting started is because I firmly believe, I see it time and time again. It certainly happened with me. When you, if maybe you start your focus on improving your health and your wellness and getting more fit, when you start to really make those changes and you become, whatever comes first, maybe you feel stronger, you feel empowered. You're like, wow, I can't believe I set my alarm and I got up and I went to the gym 5 times this week. And then that starts to bleed over and you start to eat better. And then you start to, you know, perform and you hire a trainer and you take things up a notch. When you change that part of yourself, it changes your attitude. It changes how you hold yourself. It's your posture. Physically, you'll have manifestations, but it's also going to start bleeding over into other areas of your life. When you feel better and you're walking around proud, you're going to feel differently at home. You're going to feel differently in your relationships. You're going to feel differently at work. And it does start to affect those areas. And conversely, if you're doing great in your business life, but your health is suffering, you know, those two are absolutely intertwined. In fact, I know I was reading a book and we're going to have her on the show, the author of Thoughtfully Ruthless. She's a CrossFitter and she was sharing in one of the chapters how a dedication to health can absolutely have an effect on the outcomes in your business. And so it's definitely very much intertwined. And I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Well, there's science behind it. We mentioned it in the book. It's just a paragraph. But when we talk about forming habits, and you know, in our research, it took 66 days on average to form a habit. When people successfully completed that, right, that's behavior change. It could be as small as I'm going to start getting up early, right? I'm going to start waking up early so that I can do something else like exercise or read. There's a halo effect that has actually been documented. Those people reported like fewer dirty dishes. I mean, like really simple things that behavior change changes your self-image. And it allows you to understand that you know, they call it plasticity, that I can change the groove that I've been in. And that's a very empowering thing in all the areas of your life.
That's amazing. You're making me think of so many things in my own life. You know, when I realized the trainer that I'm working with, Blaine, here in Austin, we train up at Gold's Gym, and I started training with him right when I made some huge strides in my health, in the hormonal issues that I've been dealing with. And Dr. Sebring is a big part of that. He's also been interviewed on our show. But what it took with me with Blaine was to be patient and commit to the long process, the long term. And he's like, we're going to do this. We're going to work on nothing but conditioning for the first 30 days, because I'd been making so many mistakes on my own for so long that I had severe mobility issues. We're working on mobility first, conditioning next, then strength, and so on. But it took longer, that beginning part, because my hips were tight, my hamstrings were tight. I mean, pretty much I had gone to, like, if there is a website called issues.com, I went there and I signed up for all of them. And I said, please give me tight hips, you know, give me issues with my hamstrings, glutes, whatever. So I had to commit to that long process. But I tell you what, for the first time in my life, when I did and I committed to doing what Blaine had me do instead of what I wanted to do, I wanted to train the way I'd always trained in the past. I wanted to do the things I wanted to, but I trusted in him. And then when I started to see, like, wow, 3 weeks in, I can suddenly squat. I can suddenly do a forward lunge and not have pain in the back of my knee, because that work that wasn't showing up, you know, wasn't tangible. I couldn't see what it was doing. But when it showed up, I'm like, oh my God, look what I'm capable of. I'm going to keep committing. I'm going to keep doing all I can. I'm going to get over that I don't like how I look in the mirror. I'm going to get over that, because this is transforming me. So yeah, it absolutely bleeds over into every other part of your life. And for anybody that sees my Instagram stories after I train with Blaine, they can just tell. I go home, I'm like, bring it on, world. Bring it on. I can take you. I just, you know, the other day I just squatted my body weight. I came home and I'm like, there is no business problem that is going to get me down today. But anyway, let me do what I need to do, which is focus on the one thing. Oh, I just did a total pun, bad pun. But I'm going to do it anyway. Focus on the one thing I said I would do, which is these. I want to share some very specific examples. Let's take the premise of your book, which is, you know, I think I used the example in the beginning before we started the recording of this interview. I said, I'm that girl who, if it's in business or life or fitness, I look at the mountain of what my goals are. And instead, I will look and I'll walk around the mountain and I'll look at it and I'll analyze all the different ways I could climb that mountain. And I'll spend weeks and months looking at the mountain, scaling the mountain, dreaming of the mountain, thinking about the mountain, talking about the mountain, where the premise, and this is in my own way of saying this, the premise of your book is figure out how you're going to take that first step up the mountain. And then you take the next step. That's how you get somewhere, instead of staying on the bottom of the mountain, visualizing what you could do getting up that mountain. So it's all about what's the one thing. If you need to climb that mountain, you've got to start going up the mountain somehow. So when it comes to business or money or fitness, and I'll let, what should we use as an example here? Because I'm already going over our time, but I want to give the audience what an example of, okay, so what you pick, what's one area, and then we'll use an example of how we could help somebody move past, you know, stagnation and get into activity. Let's dumb it down and give a really simple example. Which one of those areas should we do?
Well, let's go health. I mean, we mentioned before, it's not disconnected from business either, mm-hmm. right? Because that's our foundation. So the metaphor we used in the book is kind of lining up your dominoes. And we have a graphic in the book that where this physicist had figured out that a 2-inch domino can knock over a 3-inch domino, can knock over a 4.5-inch domino. And if you look up at the mountain, right, if you go out that run of dominoes growing 50% bigger, by the 18th, it would be as tall as the Tower of Pisa. By the 23rd, as tall as the Eiffel Tower, which, by the way, is 1,000 feet tall. It's taller than the Empire State Building. And you're like, wow, like that's growing so fast. I think the principle of the book is to start with the smallest domino that you know that you can do today. And most people who do what you describe there, they look out at the mountain or that really tall domino in our metaphor that they just think, man, that's what I want to conquer. They jump into it sometimes too fast. And the example I usually give is they'll start the year, like January 1 is when everybody, all those health books go on the bestseller list, right?
Yes.
And their big goal is not specific enough to qualify as one thing. They're going to say something like, hey, I want to get in great shape, you know, by, you know, swimsuit season, right? And what they really are taking on is not one thing. They're thinking about both a diet and an exercise plan. And let's just start with the diet. They're going to change the way they eat, which means they have to change the way they shop and they prepare food. So there's like multiple habits right there. And in terms of exercising, you know, classically, a lot of people start getting up early to go run or go to the gym or go to their, you know, their boot camp or whatever. Well, by the way, it's not just going out to the boot camp. It's also they have to go to bed earlier in order to get up earlier. A lot of people are taking on a really big domino. Like in the course of our book, you might get there on the third or fourth step, not the first step. They're diving in too far. So I usually ask people right now, you know that you want to, let's just say, reduce stress, right? Well, let's go back. I want to get in shape for swimsuit season. I don't want to mix up the example. Sorry about that. What do you think is the one thing you could do right now, right? That, such that by doing it, you ask that question. And a lot of times you'll get a really simple answer. You'll be like, you know what? I think if I just started eating smaller portions, awesome, right? You don't have to change what you shop. All you're doing is eating on a smaller plate, like starting somewhere and then building on that once that's a habit. And so our mechanism is usually 66 days on average. Now, it takes longer if you're going to say, like, quit smoking. We talked to the researchers who did the research, and some people formed a habit in as quickly as 18 days. Some it took 250. So the average can serve us here or not, but I usually just tell people, pay attention. If you've ever set your alarm to get up early, there's a point in that journey where you start waking up before the alarm. Congratulations, your body is telling you that habit is now ingrained. You can move to the next thing.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I just saying, like, on the diet thing, if your first domino, that simple first step so you can get progress and confidence and then build on it, was to eat smaller portions, when you open up the cabinet and you grab the salad plate instead of the dinner plate, and that's just your natural reaction, congratulations, you might have actually ingrained that habit and now can start thinking about, well, what's the next domino for me?
It's, you know, there's two, you've had so many truth bombs. I've already filled up two pages of notes.
Okay.
but it's all good. But I think that what you're seeing, or what I observe when I overhear, and by overhearing, I mean, you observe it on social media. We all know somebody, and we've been that person too, who is constantly saying, you know, I mean, how many people do you know that are like, yeah, I really need to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
Yeah, I want to lose some weight. Yeah, I'm, my doctor said, and you've heard them say that a million times. So they're in that talk about it phase where they're like, I know I need to lose weight. Or they say that, I know I need to lose weight. I know I need to focus on my health. And you're like, how's that going for you? Because they're putting it on a shelf and making it easy because they're like, yeah, I know I need to lose 5 pounds. And let me get real, people. Most of you that are saying you need to lose 5 pounds, you need to probably lose 20. I mean, because we all weigh more than we think if we keep putting it off. That's just my opinion. But the same thing, I'll give an example with money and debt. That can be one of the single most stressful situations, which again, stress will destroy your health. It can destroy your life. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy everything. But I think about a lot of people, myself included in the past, when people have money issues, how many people will constantly say, oh my God, I've got to pay off my credit cards. Oh my God, I have so many, you know, I have so much debt. My student loans, I have this, that, and the other. And they wallow in the fear of how big that debt mountain is, the financial burden that they have. So what's the one for me? What would be the one thing? And I did have to do this with myself several years ago, because I had let my fear, this could be something as simple too as going to the dentist. I had let my fear of conquering paying off my credit cards become so magnificent that I didn't want to go near it. And so it's like a room in your house that you've shut the door and you think there's, you know, something bad is in there. I don't even want to open the door. What's the one thing? Okay, how about this? I'm going to tell myself, if you're one of those people and you have debt, that you're going to log into all of your credit cards online and you're going to write down the balances. get yourself comfortable with what you owe. Because a lot of people, they won't look at their credit score. They won't look at how much money they owe. And therefore, they never develop a plan. Would you think that, do you hear that a lot as well with money problems, that people are avoiding doing that one simple thing that can be that first step?
Well, yes. I think what's really sad is this idea of failure and what we ascribe to it. There's a great book out there called Mindset by Dr. Carol Dweck.
Okay.
Where she talks about kids, like how do kids learn to walk? They learn to walk by doing face plant, like every three steps for months and months and months, right? We learn to talk by babbling. We learn to eat by drooling and vomiting on ourselves. And that is the human condition, right? Is that we fail through all these complicated, now seemingly simple tasks until we learn them. And she did a lot of psychological research. She's an amazing scientist. And it's somewhere like, you know, between 6 and 8 that we go and start judging ourselves by our failures. And that's a very social thing, right? That we start thinking that our failure says something about us. And what that does is people won't try things they think they might fail at because they think it would say something about them. And she identified, and we all suffer from this in one way or another, that it's a growth mindset that sees failure as an opportunity to learn and grow. And the fixed mindset that which sees failure as some sort of fixed statement about ourselves. So I know that's a big tangent to go on here. Hmm. But if you have a fixed mindset about what your debt says about you, you don't want to see it at all because it might say, I'm the kind of person who's irresponsible with money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're afraid of what that means about us. We're making that our part of our identity versus a symptom of our behavior. And they're very different things. So I do think that all progress has to be built on an honest perspective. There are a lot of people who are overweight that just refuse to get on a scale. They don't even have one in their house, right? Yeah. And they'll get pants that have elastic waistbands because that allows them to avoid knowing how many inches their waist is. So we have mm-hmm. these ways of deluding ourselves and avoiding the problem because we're not yet emotionally prepared to face it. So I think the first journey is just saying it's okay that everybody fails. Most people aren't transparent about it. That's the truth. And with social media and everybody taking photos of their abs and everything, it makes us feel like we're the only person who doesn't have a six pack, right? I don't. I think I'm fairly fit, but I'm not that fit. So we all screw up. I think we have to just kind of take ourselves off the hook. If we were our own child, we would never talk to ourselves the way to our children the way we do to ourselves. So first, just acknowledge we all suffer from a fixed mindset in some areas. Let's move it to a growth mindset. And yes, so we've learned some hard lessons about maybe it's debt, maybe it's our health, whatever that is. You have to acknowledge where we are. The whole idea of going from point A to point B and point B being where you want to go, you can't plot a course if you don't know where point A is. You can't do it.
That's so true.
Right? So we might be wandering in a general direction, but that's the least purposeful way we can go about it. So I would just encourage everybody to take themselves off the hook, talk to themselves like they would their beloved child, and say, you know what, this is where you are. It may be a long journey, but let's start making progress. Because mm-hmm. most things worth accomplishing don't happen overnight. In our research, most businesses, great businesses, it can take as long as a decade. I think it was 8.5 years on average in our research for great businesses to build the foundations they needed to really blow up. They don't happen overnight, no matter what we read in Fast Company. And real physical transformation doesn't happen on a 30-day diet.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle change. And real transformation happens over months and often years. Mm. And you really get into the science of flexibility and strength training and all of that. Like, you can make some visible changes pretty quick, but is your foundation changed in such a way that it's not going to flip right back to where you were the moment you step off of that program? So I just think we need to acknowledge, okay, it's going to take time. And people overestimate what they can get done this month or this year. But I think they vastly, vastly underestimate how much they can accomplish in 5 years. And that might sound like forever. I mean, I'm 48, so 5 years feels like tomorrow, right? It doesn't feel like a long time. To my 12-year-old son, it's like forever, right? Because as a proportion of the life he's lived, that does feel like a long time.
Yep.
I'd look at him and go, you're 13 years old. By the time you're 18, if you could transform your world, that's no time at all.
Mm.
And by the way, you get to enjoy the benefits the entire way. You don't have to wait 5 years to get the benefit. So I think that our impatience, to go back to the beginning of our conversation, prevents us from setting bigger picture goals and doing the long-term kind of behavior lifestyle changes that don't just make the change happen apparent to everyone else this month. They actually make it happen. I had a chance. It'll be the last thing I say, then I'll open up because I know I'm on my soapbox here again. Then I want to participate. It's not the Jay Papazan show.
Yes, it is.
James Clear is one of my favorite bloggers. If you've never been to jamesclear.com, he's amazing. And he does lots of stuff like on the keto diet. But he was sharing with me like his idea of goal setting. And I've suffered from this. Like I've done 3 or 4 like 100 push-up challenges. And he goes, a lot of people set goals because they're outward facing. And I would tell you, based on what we're talking about now, that can be a symptom of a fixed mindset. You want your goals to say something about you for other people, not you. And I looked at all of the goals I was setting around body fat and all that stuff. And he goes, you know what? I just decided my goal would be to be the kind of person who works out every day. I would choose to be, as a goal, the kind of person who eats clean food. There's no weight loss attached to that. Well, by the way, those rather big goals. I want to be the kind of person who works out every day. I want to be the kind of person who eats cleanly. I mean, I bumped into the guy last week, Thursday. We spent like 2 hours together. He's in amazing shape. So he doesn't have calipers to check his body fat and all that stuff. He might, but he doesn't talk about it if he does. He just sets some lifestyle goals. And those are much more long-term. And it's a little harder to brag about it. But the success of that mentality was undeniable. So I want to become the kind of person, to use your credit card example, that lives within their means. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the smallest domino I could do to take charge of that? It might be, let's just address what my balances are. Maybe it's, I'm going to cancel my credit cards and start living on my debit card, right? There's whole books. Maybe I'm going to read a book, you know, go read some Dave Ramsey, for goodness sake. Like he's made his whole career on walking people out of that situation. So take that first step. Acknowledge reality, and then set goals that are bigger, right? They're not about this month or this year. They're about having a whole career, or maybe they're a 5-year vision for yourself. Those goals tend to be much more rewarding, and you get fulfillment all the way along the way, and they can also be transformative. They're much bigger in general than these short-term goals to look good for somebody's wedding or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you just gave me some really good stuff to tie this all together. That was awesome. And when you said, I'm going to piggyback on what you said about how much you can change your life in 5 years. And then you alluded to something earlier, and I think these are good things we can, because I know we've gone over our time, I need to wrap up for you. But you alluded to, you know, when people, they're identifying or they're labeling themselves as their problems, right? So if you have weight to lose, you don't want to get on the scale because you don't want to. I was that person, 8 or 9 years ago. Like I didn't want to tell anybody I have more than 5 pounds to lose. Because when I did weigh myself and I saw, you know, I had 25 or 30 pounds to lose, that's not cool. You don't hear girls back then saying, I have to lose 30 pounds. Everybody's comfortable going, yeah, I need to lose 5 pounds. So I was labeling myself and I didn't want to say it. And that, let me get real, kept me from attacking it because I had shame. So I think there's something that ties into a sense of shame. We give ourselves, we shame ourselves into going, oh my God, you have so much debt. You're a loser. Look how much debt. And it goes back to also what you said, how we talk to ourselves, how we treat ourselves. You can't allow yourself to get, you know, distracted by shame. Don't label yourself by your problems. We've all had behavioral issues. The key is you're going to fix them. And for me, I find that the people that I follow on social media, the people that inspire me, the people that teach me, whether it's in business, fitness, spirituality, whatever, they're not perfect people. They're flawed. Look back at Oprah. Why do a lot of people relate to Oprah? Because she's not a size zero, because she struggles with her weight. I mean, we're all flawed. The more that I shared with my audience personally about my hormonal challenges and, you know, I was doing this last year and my waist was up 4 inches. Like I'm keeping it real. And then they're cheering me along and saying, I can relate to her. I'm 48 too. And I've made more changes back to your 5-year reference. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening, I have made more changes in my body, in my health, in my finances, in my business, in my life, in the very essence of who I am as a human being on this earth. I know what my calling is. I know why I'm here. I'm more excited about my future and my health and my body and my future love life, if you will, my everything, than at 48, than I was at 20, than I was at 30, than I was at 17. And that shows you how much you can transform your life, like you said, Jay, in 5 years. But you know what the key is? What was I doing differently the past 5 years? And really, most of it has happened for me in the past year. But in the past 5 years, I really opened myself up to taking a risk, stepping outside of my comfort zone. It started with founding my own company, but pouring into myself the great advice from other people and taking action and just having that coachable attitude of like, I got to figure out what my issues are. And I'm happy to share my issues and my failures and my lessons because that it's those failures that have made me a better person because I learned from them. So I just want to, again, reinstate and reinforce what you said, that you can change so much about your life. But if you're willing to, again, take away that shame, stop labeling yourself with your failures, have an open mind and be excited about starting. What's the one thing? What's the one thing I can do to move things forward? That was just my little tagline for your book. And I think everybody, clearly, if you haven't read Jay's book, I hope this interview fired you up and that you go out and buy the book. Jay, as we wrap up, I've kept you way over our time and I do thank you.
That's okay. I'm obviously having a lot of fun too.
Yeah. I mean, this has really been so, so informative and it's motivating me. It's motivating the hell out of me, quite frankly. But for everybody listening, can you tell them where can they find your book and where can they, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, where can they reach you?
The book should be available in any bookstore they go to. Luckily, if they want to find out more about us and what we do, just visit theonething.com with the number one. And we've got, you know, a lot of free resources. I mentioned, you know, the 66 days to form a habit. We have a document there that you can download. It's free to take a 66-day challenge. When you described your journey, Kelly, you made me think of a team member of ours named Jamie. We actually did a podcast with her about a month ago. And since she read the book, I think it's over 3 years, she's formed 9 positive habits in her life, just methodically knocking them down one at a time. She quit smoking. She knocked all soft drinks out of her life. And she was like a wake up and get a Dr. Pepper kind of person. She's transformed herself physically. Like she's taking like, is it Krav Maga? I don't ever know how to say it.
Yes, that's how you say it.
She got out of a bad relationship. She erased a mountain of debt. And she's just been plugging away. And the confidence she's gotten each step along the way, each little hurdle cleared, right? Each one of those has given her more power and momentum. So her experience would line up with your experience. You know, you acknowledge where you are, you make a commitment to make change, and you don't even have to understand everything that's going on. You just have to start taking action. So I hope people will do that, whether they read the book or not. Just follow your example, Kelly. Believe in themselves, stop judging themselves, certainly stop shaming themselves.
Yep.
And take that first step towards a better life. That's a really, really amazing thing that we want for everyone.
It is. It can be not just game changing, life changing. And I certainly, I'm being much more, what's the word I'm like? Much more vocal about sharing all of my struggles because, you know, it's frankly, I get more people that will write to me and say, wow, thank you for sharing that. You know, now I know that there's hope. Too many people go at it alone. They hide. They're again, kind of stuck in shame or embarrassment and they don't think they can do anything. And when they see somebody else sharing their journey and their humility and that they're willing to work on themselves and what's happened, you know, I mean, frankly, that's to me the definition of fitfluential. And fitfluential doesn't have to be strictly fitness. You know, you can be financially fit, spiritually fit, and so on. And that was me ending the show, plugging my own company. This ad was brought to you by fitfluential.com. Everybody, I really, I hope that you got a lot from the show. I'm sure that everybody is going to go out. I mean, we're coming up on the holiday season. I'm going to be bold and say you should buy this for everybody if you celebrate Christmas or if it's any other holiday coming up in the fall. do it. Birthday books. This is probably one of the greatest gifts I think you could get anybody. And I mean that sincerely. Just go look at the reviews on Amazon. You'll see that this has impacted a lot of lives. And what a better way, what a better gift for somebody than to give them this. And Jay did not tell me to say that. I totally did it on my own. So Jay, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a true honor. We will link up to everything. And there were some of the URLs that we talked about here in the interview. That'll be on fitfluentialradio.com. And of course, if you have any additional questions for Jay, you can leave them there. We'll pass that on. But for everybody tuning in, thank you so much for staying with us. This was a little longer episode. I hope you enjoy it, and we will see you next time.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.